If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Several major Supreme Court decisions came down last week. The striking down of affirmative action, the web designer who refused to provide services to a gay couple, the ruling on student loan forgiveness, and the court siding with an employee who refused to work on Sundays due to religious beliefs. This brings up a few questions, Karen. First of all, what if justices feel a certain way, and how often do they rule another way? In other words, do justices ever ignore their personal feelings and make a decision without really bringing their background into focus, or can't they help but do that?
You know, I think that they cannot help but bring their color of their skin, their gender, their income level, their life experiences, the way they were raised. That's going to always give you a slant on how you want things to come out. However, they are supposed to be looking at the law. They're supposed to be looking at precedent. They're supposed to be looking at the history of the statutes and the wording. And they're supposed to be deciding these things without those slants. But when things are equal, when you can interpret law one way or the other way, you're always going to go on the side of how you want the case to come down. If you're a liberal person, you're going to want it to come down, in favor of your side. And, this is just the way it is. I don't think you can take the prejudice, and when I say prejudice, we all come to this earth with a prejudice. And I don't think you can take that away when you sit on that bench in the Supreme Court.
Let's talk about the affirmative action decision first. What do you think the future is going to be when it comes to affirmative action?
Well, this one is a game changer, because if race cannot be considered in college admissions, is this going to spill over, let's say, into the workplace where diversity, we've all come to the realization that a workplace that is diverse is a good workplace. It's good for the workers. It's good for the customers. It's good for everybody. And there are whole divisions in these major corporations set up to attract people from different walks of life. And if you can't consider race or gender or any of these things, then I don't know why an employer would be able to do that. So would that just then mean that we can't consider race, we can't consider diversity? And also, like minority business owners, they get a little bit of a leg up when it comes to bidding on contracts for the government. All of these things are going to be in question, and I think we're going to see litigation for years and years to come challenging these types of programs.
Yeah, it seems to me that for a long time, the pendulum was in one direction too far, and equal opportunity was not something that was practiced. And now it seems to be swinging the other way, and you kind of wonder, are we going to get back to the middle eventually?
Yeah, I mean, the affirmative action programs had a purpose. I mean, there was massive discrimination for many, many years, and this was supposed to be sort of a temporary fix. And when the court decided that it was okay, they kind of said, this has a shelf life. We're going to do this, but the idea is that this is not going to be a permanent thing, because our laws do say equal protection under the law means you can't consider race, gender, and all those other protected classes.
And as far as Harvard is concerned, three minority advocacy groups are suing over legacy admissions. What are the chances that this is going to change anything?
I think it has to change. I think Harvard has to either stop this legacy program, or I think a court is going to strike it down. And the reason is, if you look at the statistics, 28% of all students at Harvard are either legacy or donor related, so the donors, parents, that type of thing. And 70% of them are white. And if you are a donor related applicant or a legacy, you have a 7 times more likely chance to get into Harvard. So when you look at that, you look at those statistics, although legacy is not black and white, it's not race-based, it does perpetuate overwhelmingly a white student body. So I think that if the court really is honest about this and looks at it, this is just as race-based as affirmative action. So my guess is Harvard's going to do it on its own because they're receiving so much bad press on it.
One question that came up last week after all these Supreme Court decisions was, can a person who discriminates now use race as a justification?
In, you're talking about in the business world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that decision was very troubling, where the website designer was allowed to refuse service to a gay couple. But I think if we parse this, I think the court was really trying to focus on the idea that by designing a website, you're creating free speech. You're creating speech. And so you can't force someone to speak, because that's where religious beliefs collide with First Amendment and the anti-discrimination laws. So if, you know, it would be, for instance, if, you know, you were a Jewish website creator and a KKK member came and said, I want you to create a website that was discriminatory, you would have the right to say no, because you don't want to create speech that is offensive to you, and you have a right to do that. Is that discriminating against them? Yes. But so if you look at it that way, the case makes more sense. I don't like the result of it, but certainly this is going to be tested down the line. Again, more litigation for years.
Do I remember this right? You had a case in the Supreme Court, didn't you?
I did.
And what was the experience like when you go before the judges and you walk in there?
It's about as nerve-wracking as anything I've ever done. These people, whether you like their ideology or not, are brilliant. You know, Rehnquist was there. The first woman on the Supreme Court was sitting right in front of me up on the dais there. And it was very nerve-wracking. They are very smart. They're very prepared. And it's a very formal court. It's a very formal place. And it was an amazing experience, because when you go to that court, you're not just advocating for your client, but you're also advocating for a change in the law, and you realize that when you're in that place.
I can't imagine what it must be like. Karen Conti, more from her Sunday afternoon from 3 until 5 p.m. here on WGN Radio. Thank you, Karen. Have a good day.
You too.